Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Ready.
Hey, I'll go ahead and call us to order for the regular scheduled Story County Board of Supervisors meeting today, May 7th, 2013. If I get the audience to join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, everybody put their phone on vibrate, including Wayne. Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody have anything? Doesn't look like it. Consideration of minutes from 4:30-13.
Move approval.
Second. Any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Minutes are approved. Consideration of personnel actions. It looks like there's several of them there.
All items here, good to go.
Yep.
All right. Okay, I would move approval of the personnel actions as submitted.
Second, any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Personnel actions are approved. Consideration of claims.
Okay, and I would approve the claims. It's a good month again. It's under a million. So
under a million. I'll
second
it.
That's always a good thing.
Any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Claims are approved. On the consent agenda, we need to remove item number 20. We haven't received the paperwork yet for the documentation. And I think everything else is good to go on the consent agenda.
Okay. Move the consent agenda with noted changes.
Second. Any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Consent agenda is approved. That takes us all the way to public, no public hearing items, additional items. We're going to remove the first item under that, move that till next week. The two individuals cannot be here today as planned. Next is discussion and consideration of Cigna proposal for Story County ancillary insurance products, including basic life insurance, accident, death, and what's the other D?
Dismemberment,
short-term and long-term disability, involuntary life, and accident. What's AD&D again? Accident.
No, death and dismemberment.
Alyssa.
Good morning. I have worked with our broker from Benefit Source, Debbie Dean, to come up. She took our disability and life insurance out for bid this year. Walmart actually, a few months ago, cut ties with Dearborn. Dearborn is our current provider, which means that we would deal with Dearborn directly instead of using Walmart as that intermediary there. So what we did is I wanted to make sure we hadn't taken it out for bid for quite a few years, so I wanted to make sure our premiums and everything were competitive. So we took it out. She had probably about 12 different companies submit bids for us, and we narrowed it to two. I think Paul and I met with the representatives from the two companies. Cigna actually has a little bit better product. The companies were very close in their premiums, I think within like $50 a month. So it was really competitive. The short-term, long-term, and life are exactly the same. What they did is they took our current, what we offer, and proposed the exact same thing. What is in addition to it, they have included an EAP with the long term at no additional cost. So that would be very beneficial for our employees to have that employee assistance program. And Cigna actually had a little bit better program. Assurant was the other company. So,
can you tell us some of the things that they offer through that?
The EAP? Yep. You get three face-to-face visits, more like your counseling visits for each occurrence a year for an employee. Their dependent also falls under that, too. So I did ask, because some EAPs you can use if you have a dependent that needs those face-to-face consultations. They also have what they call theft identity assistance. They have will prep assistance. A lot of the stuff is through like a web-based program that our employees can use. Currently, our employees don't have the employees that do not take the health insurance do not have an EAP. So this would make it available to all of our employees that are eligible for the flexible benefit. So, and our premiums actually came back significantly lower than our current ones.
This doesn't actually save the county any money.
What happens, these products are the short-term, long-term, and life are mandatory, and it comes off the flexible benefit. So what it'll do is it'll be just less come. So actually our employees will have a little bit more to go towards the health insurance. On a whole, it's a pretty significant. Per individual, it's not quite as significant, but it does give them a little more to go towards those products. One other thing, a few years ago, we got the voluntary. Dearborn came in with a voluntary, and we did that for voluntary life and AD&D. We have the same product here. What they actually did is they upped the guaranteed issue also. So that's a benefit for our employees, and we'll be able to have another open enrollment this July. So those that are not currently on it will have the opportunity to take out that life insurance and use the guaranteed issue.
You may have covered it, I know over the last few years the EAC has been asking us to, you know, investigate and look at various options. Were there any representatives that you can work with from EAC during this process of looking at some of these? I noticed you said you and Paul met with the representatives of the ones you...
You know, I didn't during this process, especially when I met with the individuals. The information that you provide to the companies in order for them to give you a quote is somewhat sensitive data, so I did not involve them. I know EAC has asked about, like, different cancer plans and different things like that. That's something that we could work with our broker and see if they could get some quotes in. That would be nothing that the county would provide. But we could work on that. I just wanted this.
Right,
we're getting
right.
close to open enrollment, so this is all we could get done in this time frame.
Right. Great. Great. No problem. Okay. That's the only question that I have. Anything from you, Paul?
No.
Okay. Well, I think what you're saying is that what's the company now that we are?
It's Cigna.
Cigna.
Yep. They're a little bit bigger company, but they do write quite a few public sector.
Right. Okay. Got it. Okay. Here it is. Okay. I would move approval of the Cigna proposal for Story County ancillary insurance product as submitted.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No. Now that we've looked at this, are you contemplating every 5 years, 10 years, have you thought about how often will we review these on an ongoing basis?
I would say probably three. The rates, if I remember right, there were a couple of them I looked at. I think it's a three-year rate guarantee. At the end of the rate guarantee, I would definitely take it out for bid and see what the options are.
Great. That's the only question. Good.
We've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Clinton.
Aye.
Two. Aye. Looks like Cigna. It is.
Okay.
Next is the opening of sealed bid proposals for economic development services and consideration of next steps. Leanne Harder. Feel a little bit like the engineer.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get to do this very often. I think this is the third time in my employment with Story County. We did receive 5 responses to the RFPs, all met the deadline of May 1st at 12 o'clock noon. And let's see, the first one is going to be from City Administration Management Professional Services. And it includes a CD. They were asked to submit one proposal and then one digital copy of the proposal. They are located out of Elkhart, Iowa. And what I'm going to share with you today is their cost per hour, if it's easy to find. And in this case, they've built it right into the overall proposal. They're putting forth that the total number of hours over the next year would be 1,840 hours, staff hours, at $74,460.
$460?
Yeah.
Oh, 060.
74460. $74,460.
Okay.
And that does include hourly rates that differ by the type of individual involved. Next one is Melanie Hohenschelt Consulting Services. There is a flash drive included, so they did submit the digital. She is out of Ankeny, Iowa, or the firm is out of Ankeny, Iowa. Total proposed fees of $84,500, assuming $40 per hour. The next one is Western Global Site Selectors out of Phoenix, Arizona. They did include the digital copy. The total proposed work will be $60,000. And there, 600, you got that one? And that is not broken down to an hourly rate. The next one is going to be from the Ames Economic Development Commission in Ames, Iowa. Digital copy is included. The proposed fee structure, they've proposed an annual contract cost of $85,000. The last one is from the Emerald Planning Group, LLP, out of Des Moines. It does include a digital copy. Total conceptual amounts that they propose is $190,880. And they actually spell out $125 per hour.
So Leanne, my comment or concern here is, and as the agenda stated, that this is actually the opening of the bids. What I would like to recommend or suggest that we take no action this week, and this will give you and either Supervisor Toot or Sanders, who is the chair, since both of them serve on economic development commissions and so forth, one with Nevada and the other with Ames, to be able to take a look at that, and then hopefully you could bring back a recommendation to the board, at next week for, consideration. But I think it would probably, I would be more comfortable having an opportunity to kind of look at the difference in the proposals. To be honest with you, my first thought is I'd rather have someone in Iowa, if at all possible, that's kind of more familiar with the landscape and the layout of our state. Obviously, that's not necessarily a mandate that that's what we have to do, but I do think that, you know, we ought to consider familiarity with the area, et cetera. So that's just my thought.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, today, as you said, is only the kind of the having to go through a process of opening the bids, a formality. I had not looked at them, obviously, before today. The way I'd like to suggest to you, Rick and I, Supervisor Sanders and I, have scheduled a meeting for this Thursday morning. We have a scoring sheet that's been developed for that each he and I individually would go through. There's a possible 110 possible points, looking at three different sections. One would be just the basic proposal requirements, with everything that they were required to submit included, and then rating the degree the application addresses the specific areas defined in the RFP. That's another 30 points. And then Section C looks at whether or not the proposal incorporates the proposed strategy specifically related to business retention, marketing, promotions, et cetera. And that's another 70 points. Based on that analysis, we are hoping when we get done Thursday, Rick and I will have one or two or three firms that really we have scored high, think it's valuable to bring them in. We're trying to set up a special meeting of the Board of Supervisors, maybe next Tuesday morning. That's yet to be determined, to have those firms come in, do a presentation to the Board of Supervisors. And the way the RFP was designed, following that presentation, it would then come back to you for specific action on May 28th. So there'll be a couple weeks after that May 14th deadline. And then following that, May 29th to June 14th is when we're doing contract development. So it is just simply today accepting the bids and then directing staff to go forward with Supervisor Sanders to do the review of the...
I think the fact that this is the first time that we've really embarked on this type of outside assistance, and it's part of the overall global scope of how we are as a county beginning to take a look at economic development and what our role will be as we move forward. I think what it sounds like, what you've laid out for us, is certainly a very good strategy and something that I think will help us arrive at something that we would be comfortable in moving forward with. So I appreciate the thought process that you have already put into it, and I think this will be very helpful for us, and we'll see where it goes from there. That's just my personal view.
I would just echo what Wayne said. I think our only purpose here today was to make sure open the bids, make sure they were in order, and then you'll be back with a recommendation before us here. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how the...
Well, I think the... I don't know if we really... We're acknowledging by discussing and opening today. So if we just want to make a formal motion of accepting the opening and discussion of the bids as proposed, with follow-up activities to take place and a decision at a later date.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye.
So she's keeping us honest. Okay, that's okay.
I'm going to ask him.
You just like to write more, that's all.
Agency reports, Mid-Iowa Community Action.
Welcome, Marlene and cohorts.
Okay. More the merrier.
I'd like to start by just thanking the Story County Supervisors for all the support they've shown MICA over the years, and in the last year in particular, and that includes both the financial support we received through the asset process, but also the ongoing support we've had for our endeavors. particularly as we've tried to bring new projects like the Story County Dental Clinic. We've always found the supervisors to be strong partners in helping us to meet the needs of the community. So we thank you for that. I am going to talk very, very briefly about the agency in general, and then I will turn it over to the folks who lead our efforts in the local community to provide you more detail on what's happened in the last year. It's been a busy year. Last fall, Janelle Derlin left. She was a longtime employee, and many people in the community knew her well. Since that time, Gloria Simons, our health services director, has taken over the leadership of our local efforts. She just this fall then took on, late this winter, took on supervising the dental clinic as well as our other health programming. And she is also leading all the health programming for the whole agency. So Gloria is new in this role, and she'll talk a little bit about some of the advances we've been making since she's taken over. When Janelle left, we also decided to kind of look at the services that had been under her direction, and we did move a couple of the services from being on the health team over to the family development team with Helen Banker, our Story County Family Development Director. And so she took on the Living with HIV program and the CACFP home provider program, so they're now integrated into the family development team where previously they'd been on the health team. And she's going to talk about those services in just a moment. I would say that as an agency, we've been able to hold steady this last year, but there have been a lot of bumps in the road, largely due to the uncertainty that we're facing at the state and federal level with policy making, decision making, funding decisions. It's just been very difficult to plan when the future is so unknown and there's such gridlock amongst those people who make decisions about our funding in our future. The most recent example that's provided us with a pretty great challenge was the whole issue of the sequester, which right up until the last week of February, almost everybody that we deal with was saying it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen. Although I'd said to our staff, let's keep in the back of our head what we'll do if we face a 5% cut. And then, of course, on March 1st, it happened. Because I think so many of the people at the federal and state level were not expecting it to happen, there was very little planning that had gone on to assist us in looking at how we make across-the-board cuts in the programs that would be affected, or even which programs would be affected. So we're now in May, and in April we received some clarity about Head Start and Early Head Start. because of sequestration, we had to make the decision, and the board just approved this decision about 2 weeks ago, to close a classroom in Eldora that was serving 17 children and to eliminate two home-based caseloads for families that had children 0 to 2, one caseload in Hardin County and one caseload in Poweshiek County. We did that. We also made administrative cuts and looked at any place we could to find that money. The thing that we did do was to let data drive that process, and Story County clearly came out as an underserved area. So in this round of cuts, we did not consider making any changes in our Head Start or Early Head Start programming in this community. However, if these cuts continue, it's inevitable that we will be finding ourselves having to consider cuts in this community as well. We have been dealing with funders who still aren't able to give us any direction about whether or not sequestration will affect their programming. We do know that in some cases our funding is actually fiscal year 12, so we may not face cuts until the fall when we actually get fiscal year 13 money. So this will be, you know, a cascading trickle-down issue for us that we'll be dealing with for quite a while in terms of how big a cuts will have and where. We did get cuts in health funding this year. We're assuming that it's related to that. So we'll continue, I think, over the next few months to find ourselves having to deal with the impact of sequestration. And then hopefully we'll also get a budget in the next few months at the federal level, and we'll be able to see how that's going to impact us. But on the other side, despite all of these kinds of challenges, we've continued to serve thousands of Story County residents. And what I'd like to do now is just sort of turn this over to our local leaders who can give you a more in-depth picture of what's been going on in the last year in our services. And I'll let Helen Stark, our Story County Family Development Director.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm not used to the mic. This is interesting. I am actually, well, I will celebrate my first year with MICA next month, but I had worked for many, many years at a community action agency in eastern Iowa, so I was familiar with that. And I'm pleased to be in Story County. It's been a rebuilding year and a changing year, as Arlene mentioned. A couple of the services funded by ASSET through the ASSET program in Story County are our food pantry and our ASSET family development program. And with our ASSET family development program, we've done some changes to try to do some additional recruiting and build up our numbers. We've been really successful in a couple of ways. One, we had our office assistant this year during energy season when we see a lot of families come through. People who were coming through for crisis or the food pantry, she would actually sit down and talk with them and explain the family development program funded through ASSET. That got us a lot of referrals. We now have 9 families enrolled, and this quarter have done 19 home visits. We have more referrals to follow up on, and we have just hired a new family development specialist, so that's going to be booming. We're very excited about that. We are also connecting with a lot of different resources in the community, including the Story County Human Services Group, where we've tried to market that program as well. Emergency food, our food pantry, which is also funded through ASSET, is as busy as ever. Last year, for the calendar year, we averaged 340 families per month that accessed the food pantry, which is actually a 15% increase over the previous year. So that's rising. One of the things I'm most impressed about in Story County is the volunteer activity that we have and the contributions that we get to the food pantry. The volunteers, we could not do it without them. It's a lot of work bringing all the food in, weighing it, sorting it, putting it on shelves, and we have some great volunteers that consistently come every week. In fact, there's some ladies that come on Monday and Friday that move so fast it makes your head spin. So that's awesome. We get some great contributions as well. Recently, through Visha, the Farmhouse Fraternity collected food. They had bags in neighborhoods. Maybe you've seen them in your neighborhood. And we had a job weighing. We had an intern who was volunteering in the food pantry help weigh those. 8,000 pounds of food came in the back door in one day. So that was awesome. So those are some of the things that we have. I did bring a sheet with some that gives a list of our services and also some numbers for our services in beginning our last fiscal year. And that would be from October 1st through April 30th. We have served 1,100 households through the food pantry, and that would be duplicated numbers would be 2,300. For our family development programs, and this would include all our family development programs, including FADS, ECI, Head Start, and ASSET, served 82 families and had 375 home visits. And that really is the center of what our services are in the Family Development Center in Story County, is doing home visits directly with families and trying to help them move towards self-sufficiency. Energy assistance this year, we served over 1,100 families, did furnace repairs for 4 households in Story County, furnace replacement for 4 households in Story County, and we did reconnection or prevention of disconnection for 37 households. Early childhood, we have served 38 children from Story County, and as you're probably aware, for Head Start services, we only provide services for Head Start outside of the Ames area, and that would be in Nevada. And then 12 children and their families have received services through our Early Head Start home-based program.
Okay, well, good morning. Thank you for having us here this morning. As Arlene had said, we are very excited that at the dental clinic we have Dr. Jean Kim, who has joined our team, and she began on April 1st. She brings experience, enthusiasm, and energy to the clinic, and is really looking forward to improving our systems and how we do services. So we're very excited that she's part of the team. The clinic is very, very busy serving adults, children, and families. And of the people served, 67% are from Story County. Now, we're looking at trying to improve our data collection system so we can get more specific numbers and have information that we can disseminate more readily. So we're in that process. There are many things we're looking at the clinic to improve services. A strong program under the health services is also the WIC program that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. In Story County, the WIC program averages 1,340 participants a month. So we're very busy in our WIC clinics. Ames averages about 1,283 participants a month, and Nevada averages about 57. This year, we decided to close the University Village clinic site. The last month that that clinic was open, we had one participant. It wasn't efficient and an effective use of our resources to continue that when, as particularly in Ames, the transportation system allows people to get to the WIC clinic that we have on South 16th Street. So we did a lot of outreach to let people know that that clinic would no longer be available, but that we had the clinic on South 16th Street available for them. One of the programs is peer counseling, and I don't know if you're familiar with peer counseling, but it's a program that pairs breastfeeding WIC participants with a peer counselor for education and support in encouraging women to breastfeed. The peer counselors are women who have participated in WIC and have breastfed their children, so they are very familiar with the position and challenges that the women participating in the program face. Year to date in Story County, we've had 233 participants, which I think is wonderful. It's a wonderful service, and it's a we employ part-time people to do this, so we're very excited about those numbers. In the I Smile program, one of the projects is Give Kids a Smile Day. And we had two dentists participate in Story County this year. I'm going to say this name, and I'm sure not correctly, but Nagish. Dr. Jason Nagish participated on February 9th, and Dr. Amy Raquel Nelson participated on February 1st, and is estimated that this represents over $35,000 of free dental care. So we're thrilled about that. They were very, very busy on those 2 days. The school dental screening, which is also part of iSmile, completed its screenings at Nevada K and kindergarten in ninth, and Colonesco in the ninth grade. While the dental hygienist was at the school, she also provided training to any school nurse who was new. The iSmile coordinator continues to participate in outreach, distributing dental information to all the attendees at health fairs, and there were two in Story County this year. This iSmile coordinator also does outreach at the Council on Aging, dental offices, medical offices, promoting the dental services that are available. Another program that we're very excited about is First Five. And in the state, there are 14 counties that have First Five programs. Story County is one of those counties. The First Five is an initiative to build partnerships between medical providers and public service providers So a medical provider would do a developmental screening on a child who is 0 to 5 years old. If there were any concerns, they would refer that family to First Five. First Five, our First Five coordinator, would then make appropriate community referrals to early access, help with transportation, find medical, dental homes, whatever the situation was for that particular family. And they would follow up to make sure that those referrals were followed through. Then they connect the referral agency, say it's AEA, with the medical provider so that the conversation can then take place between the physician and the person providing the service. So there would be, this opens a line of communication that previously had not been available, and so that the developmental needs of the individual can be followed. There is an effort to make First Five statewide, and we're hoping that that goes through this legislative year. In the Sealant program, which is a program where a dental hygienist goes into the school and does sealants, for the first time, Ames qualified. In order to qualify, the school building has to be above 40% free and reduced lunch. So there were three school buildings in Ames that qualified this year. If I listen to the board report, the school board report, I think there may be more next year. And as is typical in the first year, the participation is a little low. Parents aren't familiar with the program. The school has to advocate for the program strongly. So there were 17 students that received sealants in Ames, and there were 16 students who received sealants in Nevada. If they qualify next year, I'm sure participation rates will go up. Child health is also a significant program, and there were 897 children who received services this year so far in Story County in the first quarter, and 790 in the second quarter. So as you can see, we're reaching many, many families who are Story County residents. And I have these for you. And I also brought other brochures because I'm sure you may have other questions about the program. So thank you for your support.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Arlene, would you maybe just touch on another component of our operations? Since our board proceedings is audio and it's available to the public to listen in. Since I serve on the MICA board and have been for many years, I'm very familiar with our operation and program and so forth. But when you talked about the funding and the role of the federal government through how funds flow from the federal government through the state to the community action agencies and so forth, share just a little bit with us about the makeup, how our board structure is made up. Because I think a lot of people fail to recognize that, you know, we do have requirements from the federal government as to the representation on our board, because it's being a community action agency and we're serving people in poverty and so forth.
It is a requirement in order for an organization, whether it's public or private, to serve as a community action agency that their board have a very particular composition. So the Mid-Iowa Community Action Board is one-third elected officials, which can be county supervisors. Wayne serves on the board. It can be city council members. We have one of those. It can be school board members. It's any elected official that we would find from our five-county area to serve on the board. Then one-third of our board members are low-income people, so they have to be people whose incomes would make them eligible for MICA services. And currently we have people who are former or current Head Start parents on our board of directors. We have some people who are have been in focus groups and worked on strategic planning. We have some other people who have gone through some leadership development programs that we offer for low-income people who are on our board. So the people who we serve sit on the board right next to elected officials from our area, which I think is unique and also a great experience for both sides of that. And then the last third is made up of people who represent the private sector. So we have, for example, Chuck Glatz from Ames, who represents the Dental Clinic Advisory Board. He's also a professor at ISU. We have a professor from Grinnell College who represents education. We have an attorney, and we have a person who's in the banking field to represent financial expertise on our board. So we are thrilled to have a board of such diversity where we are able to bring people from all different sectors together, but it's also a requirement that we do so, and it reflects a national policy for those who wish to receive community services block grant funding.
Well, again, thank you for being here. And, you know, you're welcome to come more than once a year, you know, if you'd like to have this opportunity. While we do appreciate the updates and so forth.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Looks like there's no departmental reports, liaison assignments, and committee meeting updates.
Didn't have any this week. Okay.
Very pass. Sweet. Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pass. Other reports. Doesn't look like we have any. Public forum number two. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Doesn't look like we have anybody. Announcements from the supervisor?
Not a great deal of information other than the fact that we're all waiting to see what's going to happen with the legislature. They may be in their final week. They've already appointed various members to conference committees where the differences between the House and the Senate hopefully is going to be able to come up with some type of compromise, since they seem to be quite far apart in some areas and closer in others. So depending upon how that all flushes out, we as counties then will know a lot, hopefully, what overall impact some of the decisions that are going to be made there. There's still quite a bit of discussion in the mental health arena. There's still discussion with property tax reform. There's still some areas in educational reform that will have major impact. So this is one of those times again that there is a certain level of uncertainty simply because the dollars that go toward support for these programs, which would benefit not only cities and counties, is going to be very important for us. So just want us to keep in tune with what's happening at the legislature in these closing moments.
It's amazing how the pace picks up when the per diem payments stop. So I'll pass, and we'll take a motion for adjournment.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Good. Thank you.